I can.
If you guys want, I can buy you for like 30 shekels. Cost 30 shekels.
Yeah, we can do that.
So we'll make a list afterwards and see who wants. One more. Hey, can you just pass that? Should we put it on the air?
It doesn't work.
What? Oh my God! There's not a
good yeah, to teach story.
Can't even store in a room with that.
Oh wow!
All right, Ariel. So you got it?
It's recording.
Okay.
Just make sure though. Yep, we're good.
I said Baruch Shachianu v'Kimanu v'Gienu l'Zman Hazeh. On a very personal level, that I have the schus to be able to learn with you guys. We'll talk about how unbelievable of a work Sipur Maisios is, how much of a chiddush it is. It's probably the biggest chiddush that Rabbi Nachman has, and Rabbi Nachman has big chiddushim. Rabbi Nachman himself said that when Mashiach comes, it'll have nothing to mechadish beyond the works that I put in the world. Mashiach will not mechadish anything, except the only thing is people will actually listen to Mashiach, and they don't listen to me. That's the only difference. So everything that has been mechadish in this world, I already took care of. That's Rabbi Nachman speaking. And we'll talk about what the chiddush of Sipur Maisios is. And it's unbelievable to learn with you guys and have this opportunity to learn together the Sipur Maisios. So just, and this is going to be a discussion, because it's meant to be a discussion, Sipur Maisios. It's not about teaching that, this means that. Very quick story about, let me just start out with what Sipur Maisios is. In Torah Samech, in Likutei Maharan, Rabbi Nachman says that at a certain point of my life, I said, that's it, I don't want to give Torah anymore. I just want to tell stories. And it's not even part of the 70 faces of the Torah. My stories are not even part of the 70 faces of the Torah. My stories come from an Atik Yom, and it comes from the ancient days. My stories are a Zaken. It comes from the olden days. That's what he calls it, the olden days. What is he talking about? That my stories are from an older days. They're not part of the Shivim Panim LaTorah. If they're not part of the Shivim LaTorah, like, what are they part of? Everything is part of the Shivim. Anything that you teach in Torah has to be part of the Shivim Panim LaTorah. How do you get outside the Shivim Panim LaTorah? And what does it mean that my stories are old? And what does it mean that I'm not teaching Torah anymore, so I'm going to tell stories? Is he stooping down everything for everybody? If you learn Sipur Maisios, there's nothing stooped down about Sipur Maisios. They're wild, wild, wild stories. There's only one or two stories that actually make sense at surface for surface value, that you actually read it. And I always see like all naive people buying the Rabbi Nachman, their first Rabbi Nachman book is Rabbi Nachman's stories. Oh, how cute! And then they're like, and you watch their faces. Like, I'm English right now. Avari Kaplan's translation, and this is just not working for me. I even have like a perush on the bottom. Like, I don't understand anything. Like, forget about it. Like frogs and magic and this and that. Like, anything you can imagine going on. Like, well, what's going on here? And they kind of like, I can't handle this. So it was Rabbi Nachman stooping down like, oh, they can't handle the Torah. So I'm going to tell stories. I'm going to be a storyteller. So no. So I'm going to move now to Ayin Ches. This is just an introduction, guys. Ayin Ches in Likutei Maharan. I was thinking about Ayin Ches all day yesterday when I was preparing. And I go to Shal Shudas at Breslov and Aleph. One day we'll take you guys all there to the Breslov and Aleph. It's a great shul. And Tzvi Lieberman comes in. He was the one teaching Shal Shudas. His father is one of the Zikne Breslov today for Rinasan Lieberman. And he starts off, he goes, Tinyana Ayin Ches. Which means the second part of Likutei Maharan, Ayin Chet. Exactly the piece that I was thinking about all day. I'm like, this is awesome. Now I get to hear Tzvi Lieberman's teach, Ayin Chet. So listen to this, guys. Torah Ayin Chet is an unbelievable thing. Yeah, you have to hold on to it. This is not simple things. Everybody holding on? How did the Torah exist? When was the Torah given? It was given approximately 2,000 years into creation. There were 26 generations that went by before Torah was given to the world. What did the Torah, if Torah only, right, if we say, Staka Be'oraita, Bari Alma, Hashem looked into the Torah and created a world. If 26 generations, approximately 2,000 years, that's the Chazal say, 2,000 years without Torah, how is it possible that the world, if everything exists based on Torah, how did the world exist? How did the world exist? Anybody want to try? What did the world exist? There was no Torah. Yeah?
Just because like they didn't physically like have nor like have heard the words, which doesn't mean like the Torah, like the truth in the Torah didn't exist in the world.
Oh,
like,
beautiful. Beautiful. The formal Torah that was given us, the Aseret Dibrot and the Chamisha Chumshei Torah wasn't given, but there was a sense of Torah. Where was that Torah before the Aseret Dibrot were given? So if anybody ever learned Tzfas Emes, you're always connecting Asar Ma'amor Shenivra Olam, the 10 utterances that the world was created with the Aseret Dibrot. That the Aseret Dibrot solidified the Asar Ma'amors, but really, the Torah was given with the creation of the world, because the world is Torah. The world is Torah. And therefore, the Asar Ma'amoris was, that was like the month, the creation of the world, this Pasha Bereshis, that was the giving of the Torah, because the Derech, what do we say? Derech Eretz? Kadma Torah. Now, what does it mean, Derech Eretz Kadma Torah? I know what everybody's thinking right now. You had a third grade chip, and the teacher, Derech Eretz Kadma Torah! Don't curse out the Mexican driver! Don't be me. Don't make a chilul Hashem. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah with the finger like that. No, that's true. We should have midos and everything like that. That's very, and it becomes midos is a very, very important. Not to put down midos, but that's not what it means. It doesn't say midos Kadma LaTorah. Derech Eretz, the way of the land. What does it mean, the way of the land? That what preceded Torah, 26 generations, the land, Artzius, the land itself was Torah. Everything's taught Torah. That's what it says. If the Torah wasn't given, then you would learn Torah from a, you learn Tznius from a cat, and you would learn Amelus from an ant, and you would learn, it goes to all different things that we'd learn from the land, because when Hashem created the world, Asar Ma'amoros, that was the Torah, but it wasn't given in a way that we could understand it. You would have to go down to the Artzius. You'd have to go down to the world to really pick it up. And Hashem said, okay, people are not able to do this. I have to bring Moshe Rabbeinu to give a formal Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu was connected to the Torah before, and he was connected to the Torah afterwards of the formal Torah and Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Why did Hashem do this? And what Rav Nachman says in that piece that Kili Olam Chazda, when we say that Perek is doing it's Kuf Lamed Aled, we say Kili Olam Chazda, Hodu LaHashem Kili Olam Chazda, Hodu LaAdonai Adonim Kili Olam Chazda, every Shabbos, 26 times Kili Olam Chazda, because for the 26 generations that the world didn't have the Torah, how did it exist? Purely on the Chesed of Hashem. Purely on the Chesed of Hashem. There's no Torah in between it. It was purely on the Chesed of Hashem. It was called the Otsus Matnas Chinam. And also Rabbi Nachman talks about that. Eretz Yisrael also is the Otsus Matnas Chinam, that the creation of Eretz Yisrael, the fact that we have Eretz Yisrael, is connected before the Torah even. Connected before the Torah. It's connected, we have this connection to the land, and that's why Rabbi Nachman says that sometimes I have to be an ish prostik. You know what an ish prostik means? An ish pashut that has no Torah. That's why Rabbi Nachman, at the end of his life, he wrote this Torah in Ayin Ches when he already was in Uman. That means he had less than 6 months to live. He wrote it on Shamas Nachamu. He died Sukkot, so you figure out that's like 2 months or something, right? After Tishrei, 2 months, he had 2 months left to live. He says, I don't know any Torah anymore. I don't know any Torah anymore. What is it? What does he mean, I don't know any Torah? You're filled with everything. He meant that I want to be an Ish Pashut because, let's say people are always not connected to the Torah. You guys now are shouldn't bet it's Kula Torah for you guys. At least I hope it is, because if it's not Kula Torah now, I have no idea when in your life will be Kula Torah. Meaning you're here to learn Torah. But for God's sakes, you paid money to learn Torah. Your dorms are right upstairs. You're being taught Torah. You have Rebbeim. So if it's not Kula Torah now, oh, you vavoy. But years later, it's not going to be Kula Torah. You're going to go to work. How many hours a day does the person working really deal with Torah? And the tzaddik, Rabbi Nachman, sees, oh, you vavoy. But it's not true. They're not learning all the time. Therefore, they have to get from each pasuk. They have to get, the tzaddik has to come from the otzut matnas chinam. And by the way, even people learning kolel, how many hours a day they have to spend money on how to save money, how to get money from this, how to get money from that, because they don't have. It's also a lot of with kids and everything like that. It's family life, everything. So how do you live? But I'm not learning Torah day and night. Therefore, the tzaddik says that I have to bring these people back, that they could draw from the Otzer Matnas Chinam, which is the Torah before the giving of the Torah. And therefore, when a person works and he's connected b'kedusha to his work, and he's connected b'kedusha with his kids and cleaning his house or whatever it may be in the physical world, what he's doing is connecting to Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. So Rabbi Nachman says in Samech, and by the way, that's why there's three questions that Rabbi Nachman asked in Yoreday, and in Likut Elach, Rabbi Nachman is the main Talmud of Rabbi Nachman. He has three questions. When a baby gets a bris, when do you think the first day when the baby should get a bris? If you were God, what? First day! Why wait 8 days? I don't understand. You know what Oral is? The tumah that Orla laid, the covering of the lathe. Why, you know, Oral, they know bad, an Oral is spoke about in Chazal, like an Oral, you know, like it's like a bad word, an Oral. So why keep the baby suffering for 7 days, having a tumah on him, being closed up from God? Second question, Eretz Yisrael was first given to the Shiva Amim, in this week's Parsha Bereishis, it talks about that Hashem says, I'm starting with the creation, so the Goyim can't say you stole the land from us. I first give it to Shiva Amim, and then I'll give it to Am Yisrael. Why give it to Shiva Amim first? Create the world, say here's Eretz Yisrael, Jews, you live in Eretz Yisrael. Why have this whole shtick of the Shiva Amim, and another question, ask me another question based on these same questions. Think about when Torah was given, 26 generations later. If you were God, when would you give Torah?
Right away.
Create the world and say, okay, Adam Arishon, you'll be Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the world can only exist with Torah. Why did they wait? All in all these three things, why do we have this waiting period to get the Kedusha? Just give it right away. Anybody?
Yeah, to work for it ourselves. And to not just be given, like something like Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, there's an Indian of that, but yeah, it could be an Indian like that. It could be, but like Hashem, just give us a kedusha. Like you know, you're going to give it in the end. It's all up to Hashem in the end. Hashem has to give it in the end. It's not like we have to work for it. Like we don't have to work for Eretz Yisrael. Hashem gives Eretz Yisrael right away. Yeah.
We wouldn't know what we're lacking then.
Okay. That's decent. I hear that too. Yeah. Oh, that's similar to what you guys said. Yeah, I
service.
Huh?
When you
right. Right. On a deeper level, I think it's what you guys are saying on just the Rabbi Nassim is on a little deeper level. Because if the Torah, if Hashem gave the Torah the first day of creation, what would happen? The world can only exist on the Torah that was given. What happens when people don't learn Torah? And when people do averus and go against the Torah, what are they living on? Where do they get their chiyus from? So because there's 26 generations of chesed of Hashem, Hashem was infusing the world with that it can also live on chesed. And if you have to go back before the Torah and hold on to the tzaddik, you can't be a Russian. A Russian doesn't get the otzos matnas chinam. You know, you don't just sin and get this 26th generation before the Torah. And you hold on to the tzaddik, which is Rabbi Nachman's everything about holding on to the tzaddik. We'll get there, don't worry. If you're holding on to the tzaddik is drawing from the otzos matnas. He's drawing from pre-matan Torah. Right? He's drawing from the pre-matan Torah. And therefore, we can have a world that exists also pre-matan Torah. Same thing with a child. If the child, God forbid, goes off the path and everything like that, goes away from the Torah, what happens? He has those 7 days that he's able to exist with the Aral on him. You could do it. You have the chesed of Hashem. Hashem was pushing the line of let me put the chesed on this person without any conditions, with the Orla on it. And so to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a matnas chinam. How we zochet the matnas chinam? For so many years, the Shiva Amimin had Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael can exist even with the most tum in it. Because if it didn't, what does the Torah promise? That if you do abominations, if you did everything that we're doing right now, what is Hashem? That the land will kick you out, the land will spill you out, the land will throw you out, and everything like that. How come we're not being thrown out of the land? Look at the streets, what's going on? With all the great things that are going, we fit the bill of what's going on in the Torah in terms of abominations. The answer is that because it was given to the Shiva Amim, and Eretzo was zochet to the chesed of Hashem of the Otzer Matnas Chinam. That it doesn't have to be conditional. It doesn't have to be according to the laws of the Torah after Moshe Rabbeinu was given. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says about Egel Azov. He says, oh, you want to destroy Am Yisrael? Im Kain, if you want to do that, Machen in Am Sefer, take me out of this Sefer. I'm not going to go into that. Rabbi Nassar has a whole thing about that. I'm not going to go into that. I mean, we have to be able to exist also on pre-matan Torah. The Otsus Matnas Chinam. The Kililom Chazdo, the 26 generations. We need that. Every child needs to have 7 days of that Chesed of Hashem that's not Talui on Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael has to start with the Shiva Amim. and also the world has to start with 2,000 years, 26 generations without Torah, in order for the world to be able to exist. When a person doesn't learn Torah, how does he exist? He's drawing from the tzaddik, he's drawing from the Otzer Matnas Chinuch. And this is Sipur Maisios. Rabbi Nachman is drawing, and that's why Rabbi Nachman calls the Sipur Maisios Atik Yomen, the early days. He's drawing from the Torah, free Matan Torah. Before the Torah was given, Rabbi Nachman was drawing from the world of Kili Olam Chasav, the Otzos Matnas. And I asked Rabbi Lieberman after he finished, I said, does this fit into Sipur Maisios? He goes, ah. He agreed. That Sipur, why is it so, it's so prustic, Sipur Maisios. It's so weird, it's about this. You'll see how weird it gets. It's drawing Torah, not the Torah that we know. It's drawing the Torah from pre-Matan Torah. It's purely Kili Olam Chasda. When we're learning Sipur Maisios, we're drawing from the world. Literally, we're drawing. It's not just a saying, like a cute catchphrase saying. We're drawing from the waters of the Atik Yomen of Pri Matan Torah, of the 26 generations of Kili Olam Chasda, because we need this in the world. Rabbi Nachman saw, and this is where the Satmar Rebbe said, that in the end of days, when generations go down and down and down and down, everybody's going to come to hold on to Rabbi Nachman, because only Rabbi Nachman is dealing with people who can't hold up the Torah, and therefore they can have to go back to the Chesed of Hashem. And that's what Rabbi Nachman says, come with me, come with me. I'll take you to the place of pre-Matan Torah, to the Asar Ma'amors, to the Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. And that's what Tzipur Maisius is. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. It's the Torah before the formal, before Vayidaber Hashem Moshe. Laymor. It's before that Torah. It's in a form of not Torah. Like if you learn this, like what does this have to do with Torah? Like this is just bittul Torah. I'm just reading weird stories about wizards and ghosts and who knows what. And he's just taking you back to the world of pre Matan Torah, the 26 generations before Matan Torah. Okay, you ready to jump into that world? So we're going to start with the first story. We're not going to go totally in order. The first story is Ma'avedat Bat Melech, the lost princess. Now, by the way, a lot of goyim have this fable also, but it's not a kasha anymore now. That's okay. Let the goyim have this fable. That's exactly what Rabbi Nachman's do. He's drawing from the world. This is not kulu Torah. Hey, that's my story about Avram Avinu. That's after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, Kili Olam Chasda. It's not specifically to the Torah that we have. So it could be that there's fables out there that sounds just like this. Either they're getting Rabbi Nachman, or Rabbi Nachman's even taking away from. If I'm allowed to say that, Rabbi Nachman was taking from the goyish fables. Because that's the Derech Eretz. That's the Artzius. That's what the stories that are going around the world. Okay. So let's start Avedas Bas Melech. So let's see. So you always have to know, when Rabbi Nachman gave over Torah in Likutei Maran also, he always gave it from his gut. Meaning it always started from an emotion. It always started from something that was going on in his life. It was always... He didn't give Torah, he gave Torah very kavua, Rosh Hashanah, Chanukah, and Shavuos. That's why people go to Uman those three times a year. Rosh Hashanah, Chanukah, Shavuos. That was his like kavua time, and he'd give on Shabbos, like in the afternoon. But he would also, his main Torahs were not kavua Torahs, like, okay, you know, everybody gets a WhatsApp. Rabbi Nachman's giving shiur now, please show up. Nobody's here, show up. Rabbi Nachman would be traveling, he'd be traveling along the way, and he'd like, stop. And like have like these burning eyes, and like all of a sudden like, oh, get ready, Torah's coming, and start giving a Torah. His Torah came from like just traveling. He would travel, and they didn't know. He was like, okay, now we have to go to Medadefka. Now we have to go to Zlatopoli. Now we have to go to. He would like just get up one morning, like, okay, now we have to go to this place. Why do we have to go to this place? I don't know. We have to go to this place. And on the way, he started telling these stories, and he started telling these Torahs. It wasn't like a planned Torah that we have imagined. Like on Tuesday afternoon there'll be Shir Klali by Rabbi Nachman. No, it was like Onavi Amar. He answered and said, "Bederech Siparti Maisa." On the way, I taught a Maisa. By the way, this is when he was traveling. It was right after his son died. He had a son, Shlomo Ephraim. He said, "My son would have been Mashiach." He was already in Breslov by the time. Bederech Siparti Maisa. I told a story along the way. Shkol Misha Yashoma. Anybody who heard this story, Alo Hiru Tshuva. They would have a Hiru Tshuva. Vizui, and this is a story. Okay, let's look at these few words. We're going to go quicker than this usually, but right now, let's. What is weird about these few words? Well, look at the words. What strikes you is like, whoa, hey. That doesn't. That. Why are you talking like that? Why? Ona v'Omar. The whole story starts with, he answered and said. What is he answering? Who asked the question? What's going on? Ona v'Omar, he answered and said. That's how you start a story. He answered and said. Where is the question? That's number one. Number two. B'derech siparti ma'aseh. On the way, I told the ma'aseh. On the way, where? What? Well, who cares when you told the ma'aseh and who cares that it was on the way? And then, shekol mishaya shoma hayalohir tshuva. And anybody who heard it, they would have hear her tshuva. What is hear her tshuva?
Desire
for tshuva. They would have thoughts of tshuva. Now, does that sound strong? Is that something that like, oh yes, now I want to learn it. What would you rather hear?
They did tshuva.
Right? Shekol mishaya, right? Did any Musar Sefer was like, read this Musar Sefer. You'll think a little bit about tshuva. No, read this Musar Sefer. You're going to do tshuva. You're really going to do tshuva now. Now, what is this? You have some thoughts of tshuva. So a lot of Hirurim, you don't even make a Birchas Torah in Hirurim. That's how like insignificant it is. Right? So why is he saying this? I told this unbelievable Maisa, and people can think a little bit about tshuva. The Maisa, sometimes it wouldn't even come out the tshuva. It would be a hearer tshuva. Okay, so let's start with the hearer tshuva, then we'll work backwards. Why did Rabbi Nachman say, and anybody who heard this story is a hearer tshuva? Right? So, Rabbi Nachman was adamant, and one of the reasons why he came to the world, and what he focused on so much, was the ritzonus of a person, the wantings of a person. We live in a society of results. Lemaisa, did you learn today? I wanted to learn. What does that mean, you wanted to learn? Did you daven today? I wanted to daven. I really, really wanted to daven. But Lemaisa, you didn't. So, like, results. Rabbi Nachman says, no. That's the actions don't define a person. It's the ritzonus that define a person. It's the hirhurei tshuva that define a person. You want me to be a Baal Musar, make you to do tshuva? I'll be a Baal Musar, make you do tshuva. But it's going to be like a behavioral psychology. Like, okay, you'll do tshuva for this moment, but I want to give people hirhurim. I want people to give ritzonus. I want to let people know, and I'll read from Reish Samech Aleph of Likutei Maharan, that you latchil mechadash im haratzon. You can always constantly start again and again and again. Because if people feel like always, I have to do tshuva, I can't get to there. I can't get to there yet. It's like telling a person, you know, listen, I'm gonna triple your investment, but I need $1 million. I can't give you $1 million. I would like to triple your investment. Hey, I could triple your investment. Give me a few shekel. I'll triple your investment, and then do it again, and do it again, and do it again. That was Rabbi Nachman. Like, just give me a little bit, and I'll give you a lot. You don't have to bring a lot here. Here, who are you, tshuva? It means that the ritzonos are there. Here, who are you, tshuva? I want a person to be started. I can't lo lecham lachalig more. I can't finish for a person to do tshuva, but I want a person to start with ritzonos, and it may fall, and it may start again. I want to teach a person how to start. That's how I want to teach a person to start. Why did he say ona v'omar? He answered. Who's he answering?
The people who need the help.
Maybe the people who need the help. Maybe even himself. Okay, Rabbi Nachman always is teaching everything. It came from his being. It wasn't like the Baal HaTanya, like saying, oh boy, you know, the world needs a system of chassidus, and I have to put a system of chassidus, and I'm going to put a system of chassidus. But Rabbi Nachman, he was going through this turbulence. He was going through the emunah issues. He was going through that I don't know if I can do it issues. And that's an honor of Alma. He was answering the call of maybe himself or maybe everybody around him, saying, I'm going to take care of the issue. I know your issues. I know all of your issues. He was very connected to people's issues. Honor of Alma, I'm answering all your issues. I'm answering all the issues that we struggle with. And this story is going to help us struggle with the issue. Why bederech siparti? Why bederech? Why on the way? Why is it important that they did a bederech on the way?
We're
always bederech. We're always on the way. That's very good. Beautiful. Oh, we're always on the way. Yeah.
Well, you say why that's like for like, out of punches, not so you need to face someone who just like
Very good. Where do we find that? By Yisro we find that. What does it say? It says, Ma Shama Yisro Ba. What did Yisro heard that he came to get the Torah? Now the Eish Kodesh has a beautiful piece on this. It says, Why did Yisro have to come to join yourself for the Torah? Didn't you think as a father-in-law of Moshe, he could make a phone call saying, I want an express Torah, I want a Kabbalah Torah here now by me? Right, Moshe Ben would say, of course, Dad, I'm going to come and I'll give you a Kabbalah Torah. Why did Yisro have to come? Why did he have to hear and come? Because he knew that if a person's Mekabel Torah in his own little place, his own little palace, that's not the Torah that we have to be Mekabel. We have to Mekabel the Torah, like the Jewish people, Baderech. Shama Uba, he came on the way, because that's the place where we have to be Kabbalah Torah. We have to be Kabbalah Torah, not when we're sitting at our little Shana Bet and everything like that. We have to be Kabbalah Torah, we're also Bederech. Also, Bederech is Gematria two times Baki. What does Baki mean?
Like you know.
Knowledgeable, an expert. Very good. Why two times Baki? Because Rabbi Nachman speaks about it all over. Baki, yeah, but a person has to be an expert in Ritzo and Shov. Ritzo is you have to be a Baki when you're going out there and everything's going right and Seder's going right and you got the Kasha and you got the this and you feel good about the davening and you're Ritzo, but you also have to be a Baki in terms of Avodas Hashem. Where? Where?
On the way.
B'shov. B'shov. What is Shov? When things are not going so well. When things are not so difficult. When things are very difficult. When things are not just going your way. Baderech Siparti Maisa. I want to teach this Torah Baderech, which is Baki, not only for the people on fire. I'm not here only for the people on fire. I'm also talking to the people when they have the Yeridos. I want a person to be a Baki Bishov. Okay? So let's start. And also, by the way, before we start the Maisa, he says, Shekol Mishaya Shoma. Anybody who hears the story. What does it mean? Anybody who hears the story. What does Rabbi Nachman mean? Anybody who hears the story. I mean, obviously, if I don't hear the story, I don't know the story. What do you want from me?
Actually,
very good. What does it say by Yisro back to Yisro? What does it say? Vayishma Yisro. And Rashi says that he heard it, meaning he didn't know he physically heard it. He understood it. He chapped it. He got it. Vishamo, so I want you to get this story. Don't just read this story. I want you to get this story. Now, when we learn Sipur Maisius, we can learn on many, many, many different levels. There are levels that we'll never, never, ever, 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 ever guess. But there's also the levels of practical advice, which we'll get to. There's the levels of the secrets of the universe, which we'll touch upon in this story also. And there's also the levels that we're never, ever, ever going to touch. Okay, there's many different levels that we can understand Sipur Maisius on. One of the levels, those are the levels. But it's also important that there's also things that we have no idea. If we sat in this room, I think Rav Weininger went to Rav Koenig in Svat, and he said, we finished, they went on a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and he said, Rebbe, we just finished Avedas Pas Melech, the first story. He's like, how long did it take you? He's like, around 6 months. You did it so quickly? there's so much. This is the Otzer Matnas Chinam. All right, let's try our best. You guys ready for the story? It's horrible that there's no air conditioning in here.
Should we try to like?
No. Don't try. Let's just try to be strong. Okay, here we go. Ma'isa b'melech echad. There's a ma'isa with a king. Shailo shisha banim u'bas achas. He had 6 sons and 1 daughter. V'osa abasa is a chashuv beinav. His daughter was very special in his eyes. And he loved her very much. He would always play with her. He would always like enjoy the times with her. Okay, let's stop here. Who's the 6 sons? Who's the 1 daughter? Why does the king love the daughter so much?
Where the daughter?
Huh?
Where the daughter? In Israel.
I don't know. So who the 6 sons then?
The rest of the nation.
Else? Why the rest of the nation 6? That would fit if there's like 70 sons and 1 daughter. Yeah? Oh, very good. We have 6 days a week and we have Shabbos. What else do we have? What else do we have that same cycle?
Shemitah.
6 years in Shemitah. Where else do we have that cycle? Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos are how many days? So Sukkot is 7 days. Shemini Atzeres is already a different chag. Pesach is 7 days. Shavuos technically is 7 days. We don't take that one because the farmers have to get back. But it's really 7 days. It's also seven is completeness. What else do we have seven in this world? Okay. Okay, fine, but that's really coming from these places.
All the 40s that we have also are divisible by 7.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Okay, the 49s, the 7 weeks of Sphira. What else do we have of 7? We have tons of things, but they... What else do we have of 7?
Noah, isn't Noah, the dove was out for 7 days or something?
All right, it could be.
We have 7 days of creation. 6.
What? Right, that's Shabbos. That's Shabbos. Also, there's 6 dimensions. Up, right, Mizrach, Maariv, up, down, the throne, so on. 6 directions. Where's the 7th?
In the center.
The epicenter. The Nefesh. Six represents, and this is straight up from the Maharal. I just wonder if Rabbi Nachman was learning the Maharal. I'm sure he knew of the Maharal. I don't think he needed the Maharal to think, but definitely this is straight up from the Maharal, that 6 represents this world, right? And 7 represents not just Mi'ala Tefa, but solidifying the nature. Giving the nature meaning. I mean, can you imagine if we just lived 6 days of the week? Okay, now it's Sunday again. What gives life force? What's the life force for the 6 days? Shabbos. What's the life force of the 6 years of Shemitah? Shemitah. What's the life force of the six dimensions? The Nefesh. 6 dimensions without a Nefesh, then you're not there anymore. There's no meaning to your directions. Why even have directions? 7th is always giving the meaning. And what and Rav Arush explains this, and we're going to go through basically Rav Arush's explanation. Mainly, we're going to stick with Rav Arush, many of the other different explanations. The meaning here is that there is that the 7th represents emuna. You can have everything. You can learn like crazy, but if you don't have emuna, the learning is really not there. You can do a lot of mitzvos. You don't have the 7th. You don't have the emuna. It's not there. Emuna is the solidifier. It's the malchut. It's also, you have six. They also have 6 sviros, right? Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, right? Which are all considered masculine spheres. We're not going to get into that now. And what's the last sphera? Malchus. What does Malchus do? It creates a kli for all those spheros. Without the kli, without the Malchus, then you can have Chesed all you want, but it can't be put into practicality. That's the Nekeva. The Nekeva is the receiver, the one who takes the zera and processes it. That's the Nekeva. That's the Bat. The Bat is the Amuna, the processing of all of the parts of creation. It processes creation. It's the Shabbos. It's the Shemitah. It's the processing. It's the Amuna. It's the Amuna of all of creation. And why did he love Amuna? Why did the king, who is the king, by the way? Hashem. Why did Hashem love Amuna so much? Because without Amuna, what are you doing? What are you doing if you don't have Amuna? Why are you learning? Why are you keeping Shabbos? What are you doing without Amuna? It's very nice that you're doing the same thing. What are you doing? And he loved Amuna so much. It was Chaviv, and he played with Amuna. Again, we could just spend a year in that, those 3 lines about Amuna. Mechava b'yoser, meshasher, what does it mean? He played with Amuna, but he loved Amuna so much. That was the 7th daughter. That's why it's feminine. Feminine, Malchus is the feminine, the receiver of everything. The one that puts everything together is the feminine. But what happens? We'll go a little further. And hopefully next week there'll be proper air conditioning here. Let's go a little further. So, he was meeting with her, biyachad, be'eze yom, on a certain day, v'nasa b'rogezala, he got very angry at the Amuna. He got very angry at the daughter that we loved so much. V'nizika mipiv dibor, and something came out of his mouth and said, shalo tov yikachotach, that the lo tov should take you, the nishkuter, the bad side should take you. And then Balayla Holchal Khadr, she went to her room crying that her father, the king, sent her out. And in the morning they realized the princess is no longer there. The Bat Melech the Bat Melech is the daughter of the king is no longer in her room. What happened here? Why did the father get so angry at her? They met. What happened here? Why did he get angry?
The Emunah lost its Emunah. Meaning that lost faith.
Why had they lose faith? What happened?
Maybe she got older.
Huh?
She became older.
She became older and what happened?
Like, lost the Emunah that she had before.
She started challenging him.
She thought she could do things on her own.
Okay, maybe. I mean, we don't see that in the story, but maybe.
She needed less of the king.
Huh?
She needed less of the king. Meaning the king.
Right, but it doesn't say that in the story. Like what? Okay, that's something a theory. There are many different theories here. Again, we could talk about the creation of the world that there's talking about the 6 days of Tzimtzum and throwing a person down into this world, throwing down the neshama down this world. For certain reasons, I'm going to get to that at the end, when we see the whole story. I'm going to spend one session just going through the secrets of creation in the story. Once we know the full story. Also, there's another shot that I want to give you on the five sons and the six sons and the daughter from Professor Schneider from downstairs. I want to give you his thing. I'll do that once we know the whole story and we'll fit everything in. But we're going to go with the way of Rav Arush right now. How does Rav Arush explain this right now? Rav Arush says, Hayim is svoid iman. She had a meeting with Emunah. What happened in the meeting of Emunah? He said, what happens is he had his bodedus lotov. What does his bodedus lotov mean? How do we destroy Emunah? How do we get what is anger? What is anger? Why do we get angry?
Something doesn't go our way.
Oh, when something doesn't go our way, when it doesn't go my way, what's the opposite of kas?
Simcha
and yishev adas. What I understand, there's no my way. The whole point of his bodedus is to say, Hashem, there's eino novado, you're in control, and whatever comes my way is your way. And there's no such thing of something that happens in my life that wasn't supposed to be. Even though that I didn't want it to happen, there is no such thing. The ikar is, bodedus is, l'chapes ma she'Hashem rotze b'chayim sheli. That's the ikar of his bodus. Hashem, what do you want? Whatever happens in my life, that's what you want to happen in my life. And a person who is bodus has yishuv adas, and is accepting of what happens. And a person doesn't have proper his bodus, a person who makes an agenda of life that this is the way that life has to go for me, what's going to happen to that person? Huh? He's going to get angry. And he throws out Emunah. He loses all of his Emunah because he's trying to run the world the way he wants to run the world. And that's what happened to the king. The king, at a certain point, Mizvaidima, he had his bodedus, that he wanted a certain thing, that he wanted life to go into a certain way. And what happened? He got all angry. Why did he get all angry? Because life didn't go my way. And what happens when life doesn't go my way? Where does Emunah run to? The Nishkuta, the Lo Tov, the place of Emunah is rotten. The place of rotten Emunah. The place of Aniva Afzio. I am everything. Right? It says like by power, this is my Nar, this is my river, and I made it. I decide, I decree. I will tell you how I should live my life. That's the side of the no good. And therefore Emunah gets thrown to the no good because he's living a life right now of no Isbodidus, of no Yishuv Adas, of no that you're running the world of Hashem. He's living right now in a world of Kas, and what happens to Emunah? Emunah goes. What does it say in the story, actually? She went to her room. What does a room represent? Went to
concealment. Concealment.
Seclusion, concealment, exactly. Concealment. As opposed to in Shirashim, we say, Havieni Yamelech Chadarov, bring the Melech into my room. But no. She went to the Chadra, she went to her room. Emunah went into concealment. Emunah was lost. Ubaboka lo yadu hechani. And in the morning, they didn't know where she was. What does that mean, in the morning, they didn't know where she was?
Next day, afterwards.
When right. he calmed down.
When he calmed down. Right, exactly. But what does it mean? Why are you upset? Right? And then it says, and the father was very upset. And he's looking, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? Why are you upset? You kicked her out. Why are you so upset? Because we realize that Boker lo yada echad. When Boker comes, when we get our Yishev Adas, oh no, I lost my emunah over that. How do I get it back now? How do I find emunah now? How do I heal my soul and to come back to God and say, no, God, you run the show. I just was the total animal and I just kicked out emunah. And emunah was concealed and now I can't find emunah anymore. Don't think it's so easy that you could throw emunah out and then the next morning you wake up and say, oh, okay, today's a new day, I got emunah now. No, you lost the emunah now. And what's going to happen now? V'holich levaksha ana va'ana. You have to go on a search for emunah. Which is not a bad thing, guys. Not a bad thing. Now he has to be mevakesh emunah. Kind of like, the story is like a little bit like, okay, I have Amuna with me, I'm always playing with her, she's always by me, life is very easy, and it seems like something went wrong in life. Everybody could probably identify at one point of your life that's happening. Something went wrong in life, and your Amuna is totally put to the test. And you fail the test. And you fail the test. Because you didn't want life to take this route. And now you got to search for the Amuna. But is the Melech in such a bad place? It looks like it, right? He lost his daughter. He lost emunah. He lost his daughter. But what's going to happen? What's the whole story about now?
Finding her.
How do you find emunah? How do you have your hurei tshuva? Not how to do tshuva. That's what you want to learn. Sfarim that teach you how to do tshuva. Rabbi Nachman is teaching how do you have your hurei tshuva? How do you start again? How do you start again when your prized princess is lost? How do you start again when the Bat Melech, when you kicked out the Bat Melech, when you kicked out Amuna, when you with your own hand said, go to the no good. No, I want life to go this way. How do you find Amuna? Ulevaksha ona va'ana. Now he's going to mevakesh Amuna. And trust me, when he gets the Bat Melech back, he's going to even love her even much more. He's kind of getting comfortable with her. Maybe that's, it goes chashuv. I just thought of this now, by the way. It says it was very chashuv to him, then chaviv, very beloved to him, and then he was playing with her, almost like he took it as like a given, like she's there. You could look at this positive, you could look at negative. Almost like maybe it's going down a little. Chashuv, chaviv, v'shashua, it goes down. And like to realize that like sometimes our emunah is tested, and we fail, and we think, okay, that's a failure, done. No, now's a chance. And this is Rabbi Nachman, I could quote you, Simon after Simon Likutei Maran talking about this. When you fall down, that's the ikar place when you can have an aliyah. Right? You read the Tzorach Aliyah. That's the place when you can mevakesh emunah. Now, okay, you're not playing with emunah now. Now you can mevakesh emunah. You think you lost emunah, you think you lost it. No, now's the mevakesh ona va'ona. The lashon ona va'ona. It's like you become a person of ona Hashem Oshiyana. Ona Hashem, it's like Hoshana Rabbah. I'm making this up right now as we're speaking. V'alach levaksha ana va'ana. It becomes an ana, ana, ana Hashem Moshiach, ana Hashem Kiyani Avdecha, ana. You become a person on fire. As opposed to if you just had her, what did Amunah just turn into? I play with her. I went from chashiv, chaviv, v'shashua, like it became rote. So now we have to search for Amunah. And now the search, we're going to start the search on finding Amunah. Okay, how do we find the Muna? That's the rest of the story. We'll stop here. And Bezer Hashem will have the air conditioning for 2 minutes.